Hey, what's
there
up, Brandon?
There we go, Jason. We figured it out.
Yeah, buddy. Yes, sir.
All right, what you how you feel about last night?
I feel like it was kind of like a replay of some of the losses of last year, where right. Zach just goes off.
Right.
Perimeter offense wasn't really a thing, and an opposing guard just ate us up.
Right.
Right. Bowie was amazing last night.
Nah, Bowie was really good. I mean, Bowie was he just controlled the pace of the game. Didn't really. I thought it was gonna be a slow night for Boo. He never really. He never got it going. Got it going like 6 minutes, 7 minutes into the game. So no, it was. I just think you go on a roll. You turn the ball over 17 times. I mean, you think about how Purdue wins games. They take care of the basketball. They make open shots. They offensive rebounds, second chance points. They try to steal baskets in transition. And last night, you turned the ball over 17 times on the road against a team that took care of it. I mean, I think Northwestern cut it over 3 times. And that pretty much negates the offensive rebounding. You get what I'm saying? So Purdue gets 16 offensive rebounds. They score 16 second chance points. And that normally is enough when you don't shoot it well. When you have a bad night, you try to steal baskets. I mean, they made 31 free throws. They get 16 second chance points. That should always be enough. But, I mean, last night, those 17 turnovers weren't just dead ball turnovers. Those 17 turnovers led to 20 points. So when you think about it, those 20 points offset those 16 second chance points. You throw that in there with Northwestern making 10 threes. It just was a special night for the Wildcats. It was and then in that overtime, Purdue had chances. Purdue was up one in transition. That's when you got the I hear you guys and you guys talk about the refs. That's where I think was probably the worst call of the game when Boo just kind of threw his body in the lance and got that foul call. He missed one and made one, but that was a tough one. But then further from that, the two turnovers from Braden, the charge on the jump pass, and then the behind-the-head pass, and even the travel off of the ball screen. Braden's just got to be better in those moments. And he's still young, and I know they're going to watch film a lot. I know Peyton's going to replay that play probably 50 times straight because he just got to – it's just too casual. But, no, I see my guy Craig. What's up, Craig? How you feeling?
Did you say my name, Rafe?
I did.
Oh, my bad. I jumped in kind of partway through everything you were going through, but a lot of the same things Joe and I talked about on our post-game show last night related to the turnovers. I think, too, just situationally, Purdue's a top-five KenPom defense, but situationally it seems like we keep getting into situations where we struggle just keeping elite ball handlers in front of us. And when, especially once Lance went off, not that Lance shut him down before that by any means, but once Lance was out of the game, Boo just seemed to cook. And they kept trying to essentially kind of did the NBA thing where they identified somebody that they thought they could go after and just continued to try to switch on to Fletcher over and over again in that overtime. And I don't know what where else you go there. You got to have him out there offensively as he provides quite a few points down the stretch there. But it seemed like they just were able to get downhill and create shots. And then throughout the game, he was able to get Langborg and Barry involved too. And, like, Boo's always going to get Boo. Like, he's going to get his points. But Langborg and Barry going off for 20 apiece or whatever it was, I think that was as great as Boo was. If Boo goes for 25 or 30, you kind of expect that. And Langborg and Barry having big nights too, I think certainly hurt.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think, Langborg and Barry, I mean, I'm just off the top of my head. I think they were 7 to 10 from 3. And I think Langborg had 12 in the second half. And then between the second half and the overtime, Ty Barry had 14. And then you look at Purdue's guards in the second half, I mean, I think Braden, this is off the top of my head, you can go double check, but I think Braden had 4 in the second half and didn't score in overtime. Fletcher maybe had 4 in the second half, and then he got going in overtime, really scored a bunch. And then Lance, I think, was 2 for 11 from the field. He really struggled. So their guards got going, and it just kind of, like you said, like Jason said a little bit earlier, just kind of looked like last year. Just kind of, we were in the studio talking, and just kind of, Guy just got shook a little bit. It looked like Guy just started playing hot potato with the basketball. And some of those shots Lance took, he just had to take. Because, I mean, Guy just didn't want to take it. And even in that first half, you're seeing guys drive to the basket. And you know Northwestern is coming with their double teams, with their they're going to overhelp. But guys are passing out layups for threes. And I think a lot of those things will get fixed with film. I think guys just got to be aggressive, especially in those clutch moments. In those clutch moments, you saw kind of the guys revert just back to naturally just what was last year, just kind of force the ball inside instead of just being free. And Fletcher got, I believe if Fletcher would have got going a little bit earlier in that second half, kind of asserted himself offensively like he did in the overtime, I think we're having a different conversation. But like you said, Craig, I think this is between, we got a tree of trust on this spaces right now. It's probably like 16, 20 of us, but I knew it was something was up, and I kind of felt iffy when I didn't see Braden checking Lance. I mean, checking Boo. Because, I mean, that's the point guard matchup. That's your matchup. You're going to be one of the best point guards in the country. This is one of the best point guards in the country. Sometimes you got to sack up and guard your man. I think Purdue is still, and Paint talked about it in the press conference. You got to have guys playing both ends of the floors, and there's no excuses at this point. Those freshmen are not sophomores. You got to guard your man and keep him in front. It's no flopping. It's no calling for help. And I think that really showed itself. I mean, you see guys last night start having miscommunications on switches. I think at one point they just because of themselves, I think it was Fletcher and Lance tried to double Boo off of a ball screen. And then you got Ty Berry knocking down the three. I think those little things with this team should have been shored up because now they're older. But no, I mean, it's just one game. So I do think we sometimes we put a lot into one game. And like you said, those guys did I mean, Thangborn coming into this game was shooting 22% from three. And, I mean, he knocks down three big ones. I mean, he gets 22. Ty Berry has the game of his career. But and then you got Luke Hunger. I mean, we talking to Coach Weber last night. Talking to Coach Weber. He was at Northwestern's practice. And he said Hunger was a practice squad player. He was on the scout team. And he said he just would knock down top of the key threes here and there. And this is a guy that came into a game against the number one team in the country and knocked down a huge three. I mean, so I think Northwestern just had a lot going for themselves. But with Purdue, you look at the Tennessee game, 16 turnovers, 15 turnovers against Marquette. This was bound to show his head, just turning the basketball over. And you just can't turn it over. You look at Northwestern last night, a reason they only had three turnovers because before they turn it over, they just take a bad one. And I think before Purdue turns the ball over, they just take a bad shot. Just take one. And I know that doesn't make sense, but sometimes Purdue's offense can be their best offense can be their offensive rebounding. And that's what it was last night. 16 offensive rebounds. Just get the ball up on the rim and hope something good happens for it. But now anybody
I got another something to talk about, Ray.
Yeah, go ahead.
So we have a stacked bench. I mean, I'm 42. I've never seen a more stacked bench on a Purdue team.
Whoa, Jason. Come on, man. We not. My favorite Purdue team's bench was pretty good. You go back to that. I was a freshman, 08-09. I mean, they had King Grant coming off the bench. Right. They were pretty good. That was
That's solid, bench. But I feel like a lot of these guys, like First, Gillis, you know, these are guys that start in a ton of other programs, right?
Right.
And they had very little offensive production last night. And I think that played a big key, too.
For sure. Because, I mean, Paint wanted Paint, and I don't cut you off, but no, you're right. Because Paint saw Paint's reasoning and talking to Paint and being at practice and being around the guys. A big reasoning for TKR is because he can score. You go back to the tournament last season against FDU. I think they scored in the 50s, 60s, can't get 60 points. And a big reason for starting TKR, for playing TKR, is because he can score the ball. A big reason he didn't play last season was defensively, not being able to guard the four, not knowing what's really going on. And I mean, it's just – I just think Trey just got to kind of settle in. Because you go to practice this summer. I mean, you hear Paint talk. Paint's not going to sell you anything. Like, I've been around Paint since I was 14 years old. He never – sold me a dream even about myself. So, I mean, like TKR, he can play. He can make shots. He can score. because they need production from that four. And I think about Purdue's power four position in the way we used to think about the center combination. When you would combine, I mean, Travion Williams and Zach Edey, you got to combine all three of those guys' numbers and see what you get. I think if you get good production out of all three of those guys in any given game, that's an all-conference guy. But I do think Caleb is they've all kind of had their turn. I mean, it was Mason starting a couple years ago. The next season, everybody was saying, oh, Caleb First is coming. He's our starter. He's our guy. Now, this season, it's been Trey. So I think those guys, as a player, it's just taking a little bit for Caleb to settle into that role. Caleb goes from the starter to now he's really the third guy in that rotation. And I think he's got to settle into it. Mason is always going to give you what he gives you. And then Trey's just got to be better offensively. He's got to take what the defense is giving him. He's got to make open shots. He's got to take open shots and have that type of confidence. And then he's got to just be smart in the post. Like in that first half, one thing that I really irked paint, one thing I could see why Trey's minutes were a little limited last night, because that, I mean, you look at trying to post up Barnheiser and he gets that offensive foul. Like, just be simple. Just if you could post up Zach Edey calmly in practice, you can calmly post up Brooks Barnheiser. And I think, shout out to Brooks Barnheiser. He's from Lafayette. Being a Lafayette kid, being right down the street from Purdue, I don't know him. I know Melissa knows him well, but I'm sure he wanted to play in Mackey. And to go to Northwestern, to just improve throughout last season, become a better player, get in the gym this all season. He was a guy that, I mean, his game last season progressed so well. Brooks could have gotten a transfer portal when chased a bag. And he stayed at Northwestern. Last night, he only gets 8 points and 5 rebounds, which is good. But it was him defensively on his post-doubles, on his traps, his length. I mean, his rebounding was key. I mean, guys like that, I mean, affect winning. You need guys like that in your program. And I think Payne gave him good love in the media. But, I mean, another guy for Northwestern. I don't know about Northwestern's bench going forward, but I think last night was just one of those games they really had it going. And anybody else want to throw something in how they feel about last night? Because I could talk for days. Or anybody got any questions or anything?
Yeah, Rafael, I know you kind of hit on this about Purdue kind of getting one-dimensional in scoring and some of the guards not taking shots at the end and whatnot. But I thought about that a lot last night as we went into the show and whatnot. Like, Zach's getting whatever he wants. Every time Zach touches the ball, he's either going to the foul line or he's scoring. And a lot of that stretch where, like, there wasn't scoring coming from anybody else, it's because Zach was getting whatever he wants. And then when they do shut it down and one of those guards has to take a shot late, maybe they haven't put a shot up in 4, 5, 6, 7 minutes. How do you balance that when one guy's just eating like that consistently over and over again, but know that you have to have balance because at some point those guards are going to have to hit shots late in the game too?
Knowing paint, like, only time paint is really being – I don't want to use controlling, but really controlling the offense, or you see PJ throwing something up, is really when things get stagnant and they need a basket. Payne is a guy, like, he wants those dudes to run. Like, I mean, you see Payne, those ball screens that Zach is setting in the middle of the floor, those are for Braden to go and get his game on. Those aren't for Braden to, if it's there, that's for, you see Braden's pull up, get downhill, that's for Braden to hoop. And sometimes he doesn't come off those ball screens aggressively. He's looking to pass. He's looking for that overhead pass. And then the defense starts to play him for it. He had times at the basket. Lance had a few times at the basket. And last night, it just reverted back to throw the ball in the post or catch and shoot three. And you saw Fletcher kind of put pressure on the rim in the overtime, but they have to consistently put pressure on the rim outside of Zach Edey. That's what makes this team different from last season. They're more athletic. They can get up and down. They're quicker. But in the half court, last season, there wasn't a guy. Like, last season, you watch a Northwestern game, and they post, and they trap, and they have a kickout. It's a catch-and-shoot three. This season, you have guys like Cam Heidi. You have guys like Lance Jones, where on that kickout, it doesn't necessarily have to be a catch-and-shoot. Those guys can break guys down off the bounce, and they have the athleticism to go finish in the lane and go get 2 feet in the paint. And then have a kick out from there if it's not there. This team can't revert back to post up. If that's not there, catch and shoot three. this season they've been driving the basketball, getting really good rim play outside of Zach. And that's that last night that just didn't continue. And they just started getting pushed out. And I know we talk about it's funny because we talk about Boo Booey's age and we talk about how long he's been in college. Like Robbie Hummel wasn't in college a very long time, or like Lance isn't a 5 year, John Noctius wasn't 24. I don't know if you guys remember, John Noctius was a little bit older in his grade, but because John Noctius was a guy that after high school, he went to prep school. I mean, I think J.O. went to junior college and then went to Colorado State and then came to Purdue. So when you have that first kind of step after high school, that's when you turn 19 before you get to college. So that's just kind of, a lot of guys are that way, especially when you have a fifth year. But anyway, but I just think those guys like a Langbourne and even like a Ty Berry and Boo Booey, they just got physical with our guards. I mean, you look at that last turnover from Fletcher and you go back and look where he caught that ball and look where he tried to post feed from. I mean, he was almost out of bounds. He was close, towards the half court line, not all the way, but that's too far for a post feed. That's just way too far for a post feed, especially when you're feeding a post against a big that can move. And you see that steal and you see that turnover. Those are plays that this team shouldn't make. Those are plays that you look at Michigan State and you see a Jeremy Fears try to make that play, and it's understandable. I could see that. I could see Miles Colvin making that play, but that's the reason Miles Colvin wasn't in the game at that time. Fletcher Lawyer's got to be better with his post-feeding, with being strong with the ball, not getting pushed out. I mean, you look, go back to – everybody talks about Purdue's Achilles heel is small guards and trapping and full-court pressing. And that's not always the issue because, I mean, last night Northwestern wasn't necessarily pressing. They weren't necessarily – they're an aggressive post-double team, but they're not going to get in your face on the perimeter that much. But you go back to the Rutgers game in Piscataway, was that with J.I. and Sasha and those guys, and Paul Mulcahy, Caleb McConnell, they just bullied our guards. I mean, that gives Purdue an issue over history more than a lot of things where – the guards, if you get physical with them, if you push them out, we know you're trying to feed the post. And sometimes the best post defense is an active guard, is a physical guard to try and push that ball out. And I think Northwestern did a great job of that. So it was, I think Purdue will be fine. I think you're going into a slate where it's about to get real. I think it goes, off the top of my head, I think it goes Iowa, Alabama, Arizona. So I think they just got, if they're going to turn the ball over at this rate, it's going to be tough for them. And you see it last season. It's year after year, you just can't turn the basketball over, especially when you're not a team that's going to run in transition. But you got something? I can see you.
Hey, Ray. You say Purdue's going to be fine, but I think a lot of just normal Purdue fans are seeing or feeling is it looks like the, like you said, Purdue's guards are getting bullied. They do get bullied. It's the same problem there. But it feels like an exact repetition of history. It seems like an exact repetition of, okay, here's the deal. If you get Purdue's guards frantic, they start turning the ball over, and then Purdue's on the ropes, and that's kind of it. But that's the way I feel too. I mean, I look at this, I'm like, it's a lot like last year, right? You got long athletic guards with a will, right? And Purdue is in a lot of trouble.
And I just think this just was, I think it was one of those times where when things get tight, especially in college basketball and games on the road, you just revert back to what you're used to. And I think this team was used to how they played last season, used to how they went, kind of throwing the ball inside. And then they looked to Lance to kind of make those plays. And Lance just didn't have it going last night. And it was a lot for Lance. I mean, first game back home, his father recently passed. I mean, this was that was a lot for him as a 23-year-old college basketball player. I can get that. I can get the emotions he had being around his family, being back home. I know we may say these guys are getting paid right now. These guys, this is what it is, but things happen. And I think last night he pressed a little bit because I can remember being at Maryland. This is the 2015-2016 season, so my senior year. My mother's from Washington, D.C., so I have 45 family members at that game. And I spent all week getting the tickets from my teammates, asking Bloom for extra tickets. I think I have, or maybe 35. I know it was a 45 family members at that game. So it was a game that my grandmother had recently passed. It just was a lot of emotions. And sometimes It's a lot for a college kid. So I could see that through Lance last night. And then defensively, he really wanted that battle with Boo Booey. And when Boo, as a defender, when you keep having to switch, I remember cussing Vince Edwards out because Purdue, I'm telling you guys a lot, because Purdue switches 1 through 4. I mean, we switch 1 through 4. And it was times where if you're switching with me, this is my job. My job is to defend. If every time we get this switch and you get scored on, eventually I'm going to stop wanting you to switch no matter what the rules are. I'm going to stop telling you to switch. But when I get that aggressive, it throws off everything we want to do because that's not what we do. And that's where you see the miscommunication, two guys guarding Boo Booey, somebody's open, just because you get that to that point as a defender where, no, I'm guarding this dude, y'all guard everybody else. And I think that hurt Purdue. And I think that's just with a new team. I think last night, I think they didn't get out of transition. That's been one of the things we've noticed about this team is they've been able to turn defense into offense and get out and run. But when you don't turn a team over and you don't necessarily get stops, you can't run. I mean, Northwestern goes 10 for 20 from three. They're 47% from the field, and they only have 3 turnovers. I think Purdue had 5 transition points. That's one of Purdue's ways of stealing baskets. So I think, but like I said, I think this team will be fine. I think Braden will be better. I think this is an unbelievable game for Braden to go back and be able to watch some film. I think those 6 turnovers are turnovers where he can go and watch and learn from. I think he is going to understand that sexy, pretty, behind-the-head pass is situational. You don't do that in tight games. I think Fletcher's going to go back and see himself getting broken down off the dribble. That's a conversation to have in the locker room. I know Paint, being a bad defender, I know that conversation. So I know Paint's going to have that. I think this was a great game. I think if there's a positive from this game, other than Zach's performance, I mean, the guys didn't play bad. I mean, you lose in overtime on the road to a good team. But Cam Heidi's, I think he gained a lot of confidence. To be a freshman, to be on the road and be in crunch time minutes, I think that's invaluable. I think and he was checking the best player on the floor. I think as a freshman, and he was frustrating Boo. You could see it. So I think he gained a lot from last night. I think Cam has got to be even more aggressive offensively. I think he's a guy that can get a kick out, can drive the basketball, get in the lane, get to that little floater, or go to try and finish. I think as Miles grows, Purdue grows. I think you've seen it in Maui when Miles is playing well. My thing with Miles is you be patient with Miles. I think you think about Miles and you see his athleticism. You know who his father is. You know how great his sister is athletically. But Miles didn't play at a highly competitive high school. He didn't play super highly competitive AAU basketball. So certain games, they may feel too fast for him. They may look too fast for him. But once he gets in the rhythm, we're looking at an NBA player. And I think Miles will be really, really, really good over time. And I think it's a situation by February, March, when Miles goes through that freshman wall, when Cam Heidi goes through that freshman wall, I think that's when Purdue is kind of – you want Purdue to be at his best. Because we all talked about last season, we didn't want Purdue to peak early this season. And then they lose early and we're upset. So I think as fans, we kind of got to be realistic and understand what we want. We want this team to be good later.
That's a good point. The thing about Colvin, you kind of beat me to the punch. I'm hearing a lot on our feed, people complaining about Painter not putting in Colvin. And all I can see when I watch Colvin right now is the problems he has with spacing, the problems he has with understanding on defense. Like, he looked in way over his head a couple times last week. And I was like, this isn't the time where you learn on the job. But their point is, this is exactly the time you learn on the job. And I said, Boo Booey's eating experienced people for lunch. Why would you put him out there and knock his confidence down?
Yeah, you don't learn on a job at Northwestern. You don't. You learn on a job, and that's what college basketball now. That's for me. I mean, and no disrespect to any of these schools, but you learn on a job against Jacksonville. I mean, Eastern Kentucky. Those are the games where you kind of, I guess, per se, learn on a job. But I think you learn in practice. You stay after practice. You watch a lot of film. I mean, I was a guy that Coach Owens, and I talked to Coach Owens last night. I mean, he called me the worst defender he had recruited. He was at Purdue a while. So you get better because you want to get in the film room, you want to watch. But I do think, for me, in similar situation as Miles, I mean, you're just not taught that system in high school, especially if you're not guarding or playing against high level competition every night. If you don't understand, one of Miles's things was, and this is one thing for a freshman, you see Xavier Booker going through this at Michigan State. You see freshmen go through this all the time. Freshmen have to learn how to play hard. That's a unique skill that if you're not forced to play hard, you're not asked to play hard in high school every single possession, and you can get away with your talent, with your athleticism. It's a learning curve when you get to college. Learning how to play hard and learning how to listen at a high level are things that are kind of missing in a lot of freshmen. You look across the league in the Big Ten, just in the Big Ten, Coach Weber and I were talking last night. There's not many freshmen that are playing well that are affecting winning. I think those days of freshmen coming in and really impacting winning are a couple years away, because just because of the COVID year, you got older guys in the conferences now. So I think Miles will be fine. I think he's going to get better. I think Payne is going to play him more. I think with his athleticism, come March Madness, that's where it really matters. We want Miles to be his best in March and April. And I think for this Purdue team as well, it's not about them taking threes, it's about taking the good ones. Some of their threes were just reversal catch and shoots. They need Miles or a Cam Heidi or a Lance Jones to drive that basketball and get those kick out threes. It can't just be kick out threes on post ups. It's gotta be a little bit driving the ball too.
But, I got one final question for you, Ray.
Anybody.
Okay, so this one is it's regarding Purdue's inability to hit threes when pressure's on them. Okay, and Painter always says, we're a good team. We're a good shooting team. And I always joke, yeah, you're a good shooting team on Cardinal Court, but you're not a good shooting team when you're actually, you got, you know, 20,000 eyeballs looking at you, right? So is there a way that Purdue can display that other than just dealing with pressure, or do you see something else? Do you think they are a good shooting team? I don't really believe it. I mean, thing. I've been watching for 2 years, so.
They need my guy Joey Burton. I can see him on my guy Joey, the best shooting coach in the country. But yeah. I think they just gotta. I mean, they're shooting 42%. I mean, you take out before coming into last night, they're shooting 42% on the year, which is really good, and they play really good competition. So they can shoot the ball. I think when the popcorn is popping and the lights get bright and it gets tight, I think everybody just naturally tightens up, and I think that's where you just kind of got to settle into it and just make shots. I think you see it in the overtime. Fletcher really settled into that overtime. Fletcher just put his head down, drove the ball, got to the free throw line. I think he made it three in the second half. But I think like I said, you guys can go back and look at this, but this off the top of my head, I think they didn't make a three-pointer from the seven-minute mark in the first half all the way into the overtime. So you go 27 minutes without making a three. It's tough to win those games when you turn the ball over. It's just a recipe for success. I mean, you look at what Paint wants. Paint wants you to have 8-9 turnovers a game, which is very realistic. I hear people say that's not a realistic number, but 9 turnovers a game, 4 and a half a half is extremely realistic. You go back to when I think that was the and like I said, you can fact check me. All of this is off the top of my head, but you go back to Lou Jacks last year, Robbie's last year. I think they led the country in turnovers, least amount of turnovers. I think they're around 9 a game. And you see that team, they weren't the biggest. I mean, they were getting dominated on the glass. But they took care of the basketball, and they could make threes. And you see them win an NCAA game. A lot of college basketball is taking care of the basketball, making shots. And if Purdue can do that, they're in the game. And then you add in Zach Edey, then you win the game. I think that's the formula for Purdue. So it's not necessarily about them. Not necessarily about them making 40% every game or making them every game. It's just being a threat from deep, so the defense has to respect it, but then also not just relying on a three drive. Because last night, I mean, they get outscored in the paint. I think it was 38-36. So they need other guys outside of Zach, outside of Mason crashing the glass to go get points in the lane. But anybody got any questions? And now we can talk about anything before we get out of here. Shout out. What's up, Melissa? You got anything? I know, Melissa, tell us how you feel about last night. I know you got some stuff. For anybody that doesn't know, Melissa is my dog. Melissa is my favorite Purdue fan, Purdue person probably ever. Because when we were dog shit in the Big Ten. We were bottom of the bottom. And Melissa is the one that kept us going, kept the paint crew going. She cared. It was more than just the game. She cared about the guys. I mean, every guy, I mean, every team from when I play, I mean, Lou Jack and those dudes. Melissa's one of those people that you get fans and you get certain people that's a part of the program that really make you understand. Like when Lou Jack is talking about, I cut you off, Melissa, but when Lou Jack is talking about what makes Purdue special, and we're sitting there talking, and he talked about the players that made it special, but then we talk about the fans, and we mention guys like a Melissa, we mention guys like Rue or like Joe, just different types of people that really, because it's after basketball. You think about Melissa, you think about a couple weeks ago, I take 25 boys to Purdue for a football game for my nonprofit, and Melissa hosts them at the tailgate. Just kind of come over and we take care of them. And that shows that gives the young guys a sense of knowing that when they do start to learn about college, and some of them may get recruited, that this school is a family. We're not even with the team. So I think that's, I got off on a tangent, but I think that's one of the things that makes Purdue special. I think Paint would always say, even when we were last place in the Big Ten, Paint would always say our fans are right. Our fans know what they're talking about, because our fans aren't unrealistic. They just want us to play hard. They want us to play the right way. You're going to get a standing ovation for taking a charge, diving on the floor like you would making a three or dunking on somebody. And Paint would always say, we got good fans. We got the good ones. So that's one thing I will say about, I know we're in a new landscape of college basketball, but that is one thing that makes us different from other fan bases. And you look at other fan bases, and there are some fan bases that make former players not want to deal with them. And I think with Purdue, it's just it's a different thing. And I don't want us to turn into a different type of fan base. But Melissa, tell us how you feel.
Well, I'm a lot calmer than I was last night. As you know.
I got my first text message this morning from Melissa at 7 in the morning. It was great.
Hey, I'm up after working on grad school after watching that last night. So grind doesn't stop. Honestly, Northwestern always scares me. They've always scared me, even when we weren't that great, because it was such a lull of a place. But now that it's not, I don't know what it is, but I just don't feel like we can compete there as well as we do other places. I don't know if it's, like you were talking about last night, Boo. I don't know if it's him. I don't know what it is. What do you think it is?
I mean, I think some gyms, this is an excuse. I'm just giving the guys an excuse. But I remember playing there, and you play at certain gyms, and it doesn't necessarily – I mean, the feel of it is different. Sometimes we used to go to Northwestern, and it kind of feel like a high school home game in a sense, because this is how the gym is shaped. But I think, Northwestern did an unbelievable job at their uniform choice. I think the uniform choice of having a blackout and wearing black and gold – was unbelievable. It was great, because you don't see any fan support. Their fans are rambunctious. They had it going. And I think for Purdue, I think any road game is going to be tough, just because now it's crazy, but for the last 3 years, they've been getting everybody's best shot. Everybody wants to storm the floor. It's kind of, they're getting that kind of like a Duke effect where everybody just wants to beat Purdue. And I think one of those things where you just got to go on a road. You just got to be better. I think I don't know if it's Northwestern. I think it's just I think Boo Booey and Chase Audige last season, I didn't think they physically punked the guys, and I think that was the scheme for this year. Go after their guards. They will turn it over, and that's how we win this game. Let Zach Edey get his, make him turn it over, and then we win the game, and that's what they did. So I think this team will be better. I think it'll be better on the road. But I think Lance Jones will continue to get better. He'll be a better player as well. That last night wasn't the Lance Jones that we're going to see all season long. For Lance Jones, we're going to see a all-defensive team caliber player. We're going to see a guy that can go and get us consistently 10, 12 points, which is really all you need from him. And I think that was just the game where, welcome to the Big Ten. You got to understand, Lance wasn't in the Big Ten. So, welcome to the Big Ten. Welcome to a road game on the Big Ten. You're not getting these certain calls that you're getting at SIU. These guys are longer. This is more physical. Yes, you play Tennessee. You play Gonzaga. I mean, and you think about, I think it was that Tennessee game. Lance struggled. So, Lance is really kind of getting used to the physicality of the game at this level, kind of like a Cam Heidi and a Miles Colvin is. This level of college basketball this level of physicality is just a little bit different from anywhere else. And I think that I think that's going to get itself worked out. Anybody got any questions for me about Purdue basketball in general, or anybody got any words?
Hey, Raphael, not to obviously not.
What's up, Max? My bad. My guy, go ahead. My bad, Craig. Go ahead, Craig.
Oh, not to obviously this is not the reason they lost the game, but I got to ask you about it, right? Now, over a course of 2 years, whenever Purdue's played with the Wilson Evo ball, they've shot about 24%, about 10 percentage points less than when they play with a Nike ball, and quite a bit less than with the Adidas ball. We've heard players describe that ball as the big orange pumpkin. I'm sure you've got your hands on it at some point. Do you buy into anything related to
the fact that
we have to use all these different balls throughout the season?
No, I don't care about that. Play basketball. Because there's no basketball. There is no basketball worse. I don't know if anybody remembers or even knew, but Bo Ryan at Wisconsin used to have his own basketball. They were like, he was like sponsored by a basketball company, I think. And it was the worst basketball you could ever put your hands on. And I mean, maybe that's the reason why no one could win at Wisconsin, because of that terrible basketball. But I mean, in today's landscape of basketball, these dudes play with any basketball. These dudes can play with flat basketball. These dudes in the summertime, like NBA basketballs are bad. They're slippery, they're slick, you got to get them wet. And all summer, these guys want to play with NBA basketballs or FIBA basketballs. And the Evo, and it's similar to a FIBA basketball. It's soft, it's kind of very similar. So, no, the basketball is round, it weighs the same. Put the ball in the hole and play ball. Because Adidas basketball it's not that much different. And I would hate to give these guys an excuse on the basketball, or even let them think that that is a valuable excuse. Because if they want to go to the NBA, they're going to have to learn to play with one of the worst basketballs in the world. And you see those guys at the NBA, it's all net. I mean, you see it. If you can make shots, you can make shots with anything. Like a guy like Ryan Klein, you give him a basketball, he's going to make shots in the dark. A guy like Ryan Smith, a guy like Dakota Mathias, you just make shots. Even a guy like Fletcher Lawyer. Fletcher Lawyer doesn't. I've trained Fletcher Lawyer when he was in high school. And during that session, I can guarantee you we use three different types of basketballs because I never had the same ball. So yeah, I'm a guy that travels with different basketballs. So I think as a basketball player at this level, you get in the gym and you make shots. And my bad, I should have mentioned this too. The week prior to the game or a few practices up to the game, we practice with the opposing team's ball. If they have a different basketball, we're going to practice with it for a few days. Even you get into the NCAA tournament, we practice with that NCAA tournament ball for the week leading up to it. Even with the Big Ten tournament, we practice with that basketball. That's a Spalding it used to be. I don't know if it still is. But we practice with that ball leading up to the tournament. So it's a thing where, that shouldn't be valid. But I am, I'm excited about this Purdue team. I'm excited about the moving forward, going not just through this season. I'm not jumping over this season. I think this season could be really great. But I'm excited for next season. I think you get Miles with the extra year with Colvin, and then you get Catchings as a young guy. I like the direction of this team. They're more year after year. They get more athletic. They're getting faster. You look at Jakari. I think it was really important to not miss out on both of Big Dog's son. I think getting Jakari was big time. They're bringing in another big fella. They're bringing in a shooter. They're just the same mode. I think Payne is doing a good job. I wonder what they're going to do, if they're going to get in the transfer portal after the season, but I don't want to think too far. But I think this season is a good year. I think getting that loss early is better than getting that loss late. I think we can all agree on that. And I think this team is just going to grow. I think Zach has a chance to be one of not just another national player of the year, but obviously he can get with Ralph Sampson as a multiple repeat winner. But I think Zach really has a chance to be the best Purdue player ever. And I think I know we love Big Dog and 1,000 point. I talked to Coach Weber last night, and Coach Weber almost cussed me out when I say it. But 1,000 points in the season, I mean, the 44 points against Kansas. I mean, Coach Weber went down the list, and I know he has that kind of Michael Jordan effect where nothing a Purdue player can do can eclipse it. But if Zach goes to have a dominant this season again like he did last season, even improves his numbers, wins the national championship, I think right now we're watching what could be the greatest player to play for Purdue in our lifetime. And I think we got to appreciate that. I think we still realize Braden Smith is a sophomore point guard who wasn't highly recruited out of high school. Yeah, he's playing extra. I mean, coming into last night, it was 18 points a game over the last two. He was 6 of his last 10 from three. He was 7.5 assists, 7 rebounds, and playing extremely well. Even last night, 12 points, I think 9 assists, 7 rebounds. He's going to shore up the turnovers. He's not going to turn the ball over at this rate. He's going to get better. I think that overtime showed Fletcher Lawyer that I can't wait. Even though we have Lance Jones, I think Fletcher Lawyer got in a position where he kind of – Fletcher's job his whole life has been a knockdown shooter, been in kind of the Ryan Klein mode, kind of in the Dakota Mathias, I mean, Rhino Smith, make shots come off of screens. And last season, we saw Fletcher drive the ball a bunch. We saw him put the ball on the ground. And this season with Lance, he's kind of not stopped it, but it's kind of he's just been knocking down shots. He's been open more than what he's used to. And I think in that overtime, when Lance was on the bench, Fletcher started putting the ball on the ground and driving. He got fouled, got to the free throw line. I think that is one of those moments where it shows him, I have to do this all game. I can't just wait. And then I think the power forward position, Mason's always going to be the guy in the clutch moments, I feel. So, I mean, I don't think we need to get caught up in who starts. With Paint, it's never about who starts. Paint is always about who finishes the game. And I think Mason, we know Mason's value. And Mason's a guy that doesn't care if he starts or comes off the bench. He's gonna do his thing. So I think we just combine the production at the four and just that position has got to be productive. And then with Zach, you know what you get with Zach. I mean, you're getting the more swag Zach. Zach is picking up a couple fouls this year that he just shouldn't. And I don't know. I don't think it's going to be a trend. But one of Zach's biggest strengths was, I mean, last year you go back, I think he had more block shots than fouls. And I think that's one of the things that's going to be key for Purdue is him staying out of foul trouble and being on the floor. And then Caleb sticking with it mentally. If Caleb first can stick with it mentally and stay engaged, even playing, because it's hard to play 13, 14 minutes a game and know you're a good player. No matter how much you believe in the team, no matter how much you want to win, that's just hard. It's hard to do it and lose. It's hard to do it and win. So if Caleb can stick with it, I think this team is going to be special. I think this is a team that still will win the Big Ten by 4 or 5 games. I still think this is a team that can win the Big Ten tournament. I think it's a team that can get to a Final Four. They have what you need. And I think we're witnessing something that we should be happy to be fans about. I think you go back 10 years. If you would have told me or you would have told Matt Painter that in 2013, that Purdue would be number one in the country 3 years in a row and have a chance to and have a real legitimate chance to not just go to a national championship, but win a national championship just 10 years from then, I mean, I would have told you were lying. Think if somebody told Coach Ben Johnson that right now. In 10 years, you're going to be competing for a national championship. I mean, I think we got to understand what Purdue is going through, and I think it's a great time to be a Purdue fan. But if anybody has any questions or anything for me, you got the floor right now before we get out of here.
Right, you might have talked about this earlier because I didn't get on right away. But I feel like last night we got punched and didn't punch back. Did you feel like that, or was I just being dramatic?
Oh, no, yeah. They were playing so well. I mean, Purdue came out, threw the first punch. You saw Lance Jones dancing to the sideline. Guys are energized. And then when Northwestern threw that punch back, it was kind of like Purdue felt like, y'all should have hit me back. And that was a time where I think where you look at those guys and they say to themselves all week long, this isn't the Northwestern team from last year. Chase Audige isn't there anymore. They're not the same team. They don't have a bench. And mentally, I don't think they were prepared to get hit because they didn't respond. And it took them a while to respond. You look at I think they went 4 minutes in that first half to finish out the half without a bucket or something like that, without a field goal. I mean, they made some free throws, but I think they finished the first half 1 for 7 from the field, and they just stopped driving the basketball. That's when they started to look like last year. Once they got physical with them and once they punched back, And Purdue's got to learn how to take that punch. And I think that's a really good punch to take early in the season. I think this is a team that will respond. I think the biggest difference from this Purdue team from previous years, one, they can respond. They have a mature group. You look back at that, I think it was the Tennessee game when Zach missed his first 6 free throws, him and Fletcher at the free throw line, they chuckle about it. So it's like this team has a mature sense about themselves. They know how to respond. They're not going to be forced to practice hard. Zach Edey is an amazing leader. Zach Edey is probably the best leader Purdue's ever had under Coach Painter. And that's, and you think about being at practice at 2 o'clock, Zach Edey's going to be there at 12. And if Zach Edey's there at 12, everybody else better be there at 12. Like, Zach's going to get those guys in the gym. This isn't going to be one of those situations where Paint's going to have a bunch of meetings. Paint's going to have to talk to guys. Now, Zach is going to get the ship sail right. And I think this year's team, they defend at a higher level, which is why Paint was so upset last night at their defense, because they have shown improvement defensively. And they just got to keep showing improvement. This year, they are coming to last night. They were top five offense, top five defense. I think a few years ago with J.I. and those dudes, they were like 90th. So I think the defense has continually got better. I think they just got to block in defensively, find ways to score outside of just post feeds and in the half court. This team has got to play in transition. They got to get up and down, two-point guard lineup, and push the basketball. And I think that's – I mean, but they score 88 points. But I think they – 5 points in transition to go along with 17 turnovers. That's just not going to get it done. But if nobody else got anything, I don't know if anybody else does, we should do this more often. Shout out to Mike Hess. Mike Hess is if you guys listen to our podcast, or if you guys see our Instagram posts or those videos that we post or any content, it all comes from my guy, Mike Hess. Mike does an unbelievable job. And it just goes to show, like I said earlier, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but it shows us the value of Purdue fans. It shows us the family of Purdue fans. And it's just it's a great family. If Aaron, I saw you just request. Aaron, did you have something before we got out of here?
Yeah, just a simple question. In the past, you know, we've had Ryan Klein, Dakota Mathias. Even a couple years ago, we had Sasha. You know, that little screen coming off top of the key, just a shoot and catch really quick from those three guys. Past couple of years, I really haven't seen it set up for like Fletcher or even Lance this year. Has that been like kind of taken out of the offense, or is it just going to multiple people instead of just a key shooter?
I just think I know the play you're talking about, and I know what play you're talking about. That's crazy. I know what play you're talking about. I'm too invested in Purdue basketball, but, you run a lot of Purdue sets are situational. Oh, hey, can somebody put their joint on mute? Katma?
That's crazy.
I can't hear myself. But no, Aaron, I think a lot of the sets that Purdue runs are situational based off the team they're playing. I think Paint holds sets for certain teams, and I think he puts certain things in at a later point in the offense, at a later point in the season. So I think that's just kind of why you haven't seen certain things ran. My bad about that. I heard myself talking. But now, Aaron, did I answer your question? Could you hear me?
Yeah, after kind of went on mute, it sounded like he was having a playback, but yeah, I got you. Just not putting
With Northwestern, you know how Northwestern plays. I think you know when you throw it. The scheme is, honestly, I mean, the way you beat Northwestern, if you can throw the ball in the post and you can make a clean, if you can make a clean pass to the opposite wing, you're going to have an open three every time. I mean, Northwestern is the worst team in the Big Ten at guarding a three-point line because they trap so hard and they just leave it open. I think at times yesterday we just didn't have that clean kickout pass or that second reversal. But I think as far as plays, I think Pate's playbook, after being in this space I'm in now and being around other coaches and being around the programs, no one has as many plays as Paint. And now as a player, I understand those 6 a.m. walkthroughs. I understand the playbooks. It's kind of like football. And, like, you kind of really understand that Paint's putting things throughout the season, so it's harder to scout them. Just how you know that play, I know that play. It's not going to hit somebody until mid-February, one of those type of deals. But, no, this was great. This was great. Let me check and see if there's any questions. We should do this every game. We should do this before games or after games. But yeah, if you guys want to look us up, follow, subscribe to Lou Jack and I's YouTube. It's at Rayfield Davis. Our our YouTube channel. I'll tweet it out. But we're going to be doing post-game shows, pre-game shows, all that type of stuff. Check out our podcast on the Beyond the Big Ten Network. I think Lou Jack is doing a great job in the media. It's cool seeing Lou Jack at Media Day, Lou Jack around hoop, and Lou Jack I think Lou Jack got some of the best stories in Purdue and Matt Painter's time. I think if over time you're going to start to hear some of these stories about Paint, about some of those guys. I mean, Lou Jack played with being a part of the Baby Boiler group, then turning into being a part of the Kelsey, leading the Kelsey group and DJ Bird and those dudes. And then even my freshman year, Lou Jack coming around and being around AJ and those dudes. I think you guys are in a treat for the podcast. But as always, make sure just check out our website, Rayfield Davis Basketball. We are doing a Christmas drive this year. We're adopting a couple families, and we're going to get them toys and get them Christmas meals and things like that. Over Thanksgiving, we fed 5 different families, which ended up being over 35 people, a single mom of 7, a single mom of 5. There was a family, which I could tell you, where a single mom with 3-4 kids and one of the sons, This is one of those things where you realize that life is just bigger than basketball. He's one of the best basketball players in the town. He was one of the best 8th graders in the city, turned into one of the best freshmen in the city, playing varsity as a freshman. And then after his varsity season, towards the end of the year, they see him start to get sluggish. And I don't want to go into too much detail, but end up being diagnosed with cancer. And so we've been certain things like that. That young man, and still now to this day, I just saw his report card a couple weeks ago. And I mean, all A's and B's. And it's, I mean, just as you start to understand that it's people out there going through real life things and they're fighting real life battles. And I know we all are, but I think, and you see when Fletcher and Lance and, or it was Braden that showed the guys around, we got a good group that care about good, that care about people, that care about things. And if you guys want to be a part of what we're doing, just go to RayfieldDavisBasketball.com. Reach out to me on Twitter, DM or something. I'll respond. But it's great chopping it up with everybody. I know Purdue last night was salty, but we all spent all offseason saying we don't want this team to peak in Thanksgiving. And that, even after the Thanksgiving tournament, they win the Maui Invitational. We wanted that, but we wouldn't have been upset if they lost one. So losing to this Northwestern team, this team isn't the bottom of the Big Ten team. They have one of the best point guards in the country. Ryan Langborn was a Sweet 16 player. I mean, it's a tough team. So I don't think it's a terrible loss. But until next time, boiler up, hammer down, and all hell Purdue.